what did you reply to them? I mean, it's quite hard for them to see that you are making this kind of mural. So I just wanted to perhaps share a bit more about it.
Well, basically, it worked like this. That how should I phrase it? This project had to have a specific ending date, otherwise it didn't make sense. So I decided after I left Chinese weapons fair, it was over. But then it was sort of like, again, like Frankenstein's monster started to resurface again without my sort of vision. So when these people emailed me, I tried to get them, for example, this company Prudential.com, this big investment fund, I tried to get them to come to the opening of the art show at the Gallery of New York, to sort of confront them. I think it could be very interesting to see, you're interested in funding the weapon that violates all human rights, and how are you doing? And so at the opening of the show in New York, I asked if any from Prudential was there, but they never showed up. I don't know if this answers your question. I mean, you could say to these weapons dealers that, you know, what are you doing, but then you're going to get thrown out of the weapons fair, so that really doesn't make sense. The confrontation is in the, when you reach the mass media, basically. I mean, after giving interviews to BBC and Justine and so on, and some of these people, there was so many hits on the website of the fake company, so it has sort of come back again into the media reality, so to speak.
More questions?
I just wanted to know a bit more of her artwork, whether that would have worked, like in London just after the bombing, because...
Sorry, I didn't understand what you said.
Sorry, about the holy artwork.
Yeah.
In the context of bombing in London, we wouldn't have been able to have done that. We just had, today, a work using the three sacred texts banned from an exhibition by a colleague who made the work that we've been doing. And they're today having this discussion and debate publicly about the independence of art to make points and whether that is sensitive to the different religious texts, you know. So basically it's whether the context, what context can one make those art statements in. Context seems to be quite important.
I don't know if I understand the question, but I think that the context you always have to find, and the work has to find it. Many times the work is much more clever than the artist, and the work finds just its own context. I think you have to convince people and try to... Yeah, I mean, you have to also see what is their own interest. I mean, the holy art is very obvious that he, in the same moment, how people tell me, oh, you're just using now this organized religion to make holy art. But on the other hand, it's so obvious that he also sees this as his chance to get people into his church. So he uses the art as an extra tool beside television, which he uses anyhow. So, I mean, I think in this, I'm interested in having this kind of situation where both sides take something out. That's also where they put themselves out, where they make a statement for them. It's not that you simulate something or try to, you know, I think that people act out of own interest is the best, you know, somehow to lay down what's the nature of maybe a relation, yeah.
More questions?
I completely agree with that. In this instance, the museum took the artworks out without asking the artists.
This is a curiosity question. When you started the discussion with the pastor, how did you explain to him? What did you talk to him about? How did you explain the budget?
Of Well, I mean, I visited at least 30 churches in Texas, and I mean, 29 pastors say no way. But he studied art, you know, he, or graphic design, and then he had different lives. He was a club owner, he was into drugs, he then became a missionary in Brazil, met his wife. So, he was a very open-minded man, and I think also in the conversation, many times I was first talking to them, the first question of all of the pastors were, are you Christian? And that was the only thing where I said, okay, I can say yes. Yeah, Christian, they're Christian. So, that was only the first part I said, it's on the edge, of course. But that was, it was totally a walk, you know, between the lines. I'm not saying that I'm always like super, super, I don't know if you heard the last sentence I said, I'm thanking God at the end. To make this possible. I mean, if I would now have it as a written script, I would not say that word. I don't think this was well enough considered. But I was, you know, I passed out down there. It was great somehow. It happened online still, and it's a performance situation where you again cannot put every word down. I think that's the quality of the piece, that a lot of things are open and a lot of things are unpolished. So I don't know if I now lost totally what I wanted to say.
It was the performance, it was for real, you passed
out. Yeah, I mean, the only one who knew that I was falling down was the pastor and the cameraman of the church. But these are all volunteer cameramen, they are doing different professions. On the weekend they come into the church and they do the shooting. So,
you passed out for real or was it a performance?
No, I mean, I didn't pass out there for real. No, I was sitting lying there, just... No, I worked a lot with collaboration. I thought always about this one image where angels finishing the artwork of a, you know, I think it was a baroque painting, and the angel flies in front of the canvas and finished the artwork that has been started by a painter. And the painter lies because he was falling down and he was just putting too much energy into the holy artwork. And I thought it must be great to wake up as an artist and have a finished artwork, you know, painted by an angel, and that's somehow something that inspired me. It was a metaphor that also helped very much the pastor to say yes.
I have another question. You talked about some of your projects or the documents of them being out of control. Both of you, I think, is that a conscious strategy that you leave the projects living their own life at a certain point, or how do you, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think we should have your friend the pastor talk about this, but yeah, I really like this element of chance and randomness. It's the divine, energetic element, and these are sort of like gifts that you get, and when it comes, you know, when it lands into your life and into your art, you just have to grasp it. Yeah.
I just realized that I'm never a professional. It's almost like acting. When you act, and you can act a little bit, or that you can almost act, that's worse than not being able to act. So and I realized I never made it to like a real actor, to be real professional. So I always work with professionals to get them in, and they need this other part. And for this televangelist, I'm more an alien. I come from Germany. He doesn't put me into one niche and one kind of perception. Or I'm also not trying to judge people. You know, I think that you can judge them on after the work is done, and when the whole process is over, then you can make your opinion. But you know, that's why I think it's best to go just into things.
Another question to you, Jacob. You're a bit more political, and we're talking about intentions and visions, trying to change things. Demons looking into a mirror, seeing what they're doing. So that's a difference, but if you want to do that, you need to control. Anyway, how do you do that? How do you make sure that these intentions are...
Well, first of all, I want to say that actually my main drive is a personal desire for these things. I basically do these things to feel better about myself, because it's kind of therapy in a way. Because if you expose yourself to these horrible situations, your everyday life. like responsibility. and also you can say that you actually did something. But it's truly a different kind of control, and it's quite hard not to it's sort of like you're surfing on this media wave, and you have to do it right. I had this experience in New York where suddenly there was I was presenting the weapon but as art, but then I get this misunderstanding thing of that people still thought it was a real weapons dealer in New York to sell it to NYPD. And then this woman from New York, Post or Times, she called me and was kind of like, I want to hear more about this webinar. I can't really say this more to you because you have to come to this presentation, which was the opening of the art show. Because I was afraid if I told her I would lose stage, she would not come to us. So like trying to get her to come, and then I would say it was art. But anyway, then she was asking questions like, well, I hear rumors that you're here to sell this weapon to NYPD, that they're going to use it next year at the Republican Convention to control demonstrators. And then it was not fun because it was like, I didn't want to confirm this because I don't want to put any fake paranoid stories in, because then it's just going to be used by the right wing media to say, yeah, this is a fake story, and you know, all the concerns of the left, or what they call it, I don't know what to call it, you know, all the protests of the anti-war movement, this is paranoia and so on. So I was being very strict and saying, you know, no, I cannot confirm this. You have to come. So it's when you work with all these teams, you probably experience this also. It's really a fine balance. Yeah.
And some parts have to be very strict. Sometimes all it will be out of, you know, everything is possible. No, you have to be. There are rules, yeah, and if you're part of that rules. And then comes negotiations, the other ones say, yeah, you know, I didn't want to have, let's say, for the talk ethics, I didn't want to have this reference to the art show in there, you know. They said, that's the way how we can also justify to make our program on Greek television, that we somehow say, that's the reason why, you know, now we're talking about art. So I think, but then also these compromises, they also form the work later on.
So I think coffee and cake now.
When do we get back?
So it's 5:05 now, so we'll meet 5:20 again.